Or K through fourth grade may be dismissed for children's worship. I believe Deb is ready for you. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I'd like to get right into the Word this morning, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Do you have that, Brother Brad? Okay. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Let's start that again. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this gift, the gift of yourself, the gift of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to see and hear the goodness and the fullness of who you are here this morning. Lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One night earlier this week, Jeanette and I stopped at Arthur's Garden Deli. It's her favorite place, one of her favorite places to eat. How many of you love Arthur's? Okay, yeah, I'll probably see you there sometime. She loves Arthur's, and so, especially this time of year, because you know that Arthur's puts up a tree like that. Really, really beautiful. And in addition to that, they might have to take the monitors down a little bit up here. In addition to that, they put packages underneath of them with tags on them. After Jeanette and I had been through the line, and she had ordered, and I had ordered, and I was standing there at the counter waiting for our sandwiches, I got the large corned beef. It's the number 12. Oh, don't you love the 11? Why don't you move up a little bit to the 12? It's much better. Corned beef, it's just awesome. Anyway, I was waiting for the sandwiches, and Jeanette said, "You know where I'll be." There was a booth right next to the tree. She loves the tree at Arthur's this time of year. So she went and sat down, and I brought the sandwiches, and we started to eat, and I noticed that we weren't alone. There by the tree, there were some kids, and they had come up, and you know, they ordered after we did, so you know, we were already seated, and they came up and they began to look at the tree, and they looked at the presents, and one little boy went over and he was checking all the tags. He had to be looking for his own name, didn't he? I'm assuming so. He didn't find his name. Don't we love that? We should certainly identify with the wiggles that we had as children as we waited for Christmas. God has given us a perfect gift. You know, when we give gifts and we're at Christmas and we're sitting across the room from each other and someone that you gave a gift to is opening their gift, there's a little bit of apprehension in the air, a little bit of anxiety, at least for me, because I want the gift not to be a disappointment, don't you? I want it to be something that's right. I want it to be something that, by the way, you can get, oh, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say it's okay to get me ugly sweaters because I love them. And then I pictured too many ugly sweaters in my closet, so don't do that. But anyway, we want to hear the words breathed by the other person. We want to, this doesn't always happen, but we want to hear, we hope to hear, oh, it's perfect. Jesus is the perfect gift given to us by God. As soon as we open the perfect gift, however, sometimes it can be like Christmas. And in our daily opening of the gifts that God gives us, like just regular help for, you know, strength for the day, provision for the day, resources to make it through the day, we can easily take the gift of Jesus and all that he is and put it aside in our anticipation to open the lesser gifts. Do you hear me? All the way back. And as a result, we miss the fact that we have been given the greatest, best, most perfect gift there ever was. Simply because we're anxious to look at the other gifts. Huh? We enjoy unwrapping the gifts that God gives us. Material blessings, daily necessities, his provision for our lives, relationships. In fact, sometimes we can even take the gift of Jesus Christ, the perfect relationship, the perfect gift, and set it aside in order to open in our anticipation that we'll find something even better in a different relationship. Could be with someone that we've barely known. We want to rush the relationship because we think it's going to work this time. It's going to work this time because it didn't work so many times before. It's going to work this time, though. And in a rush, we anticipate that the next gift will be even greater than the first one. But you see, it's not a problem with the gift itself. It's a problem with our perspective sometimes. Amen? God's gift to us is his Son, Jesus Christ, more than the gift at Christmas. He is, and he has given us himself, his life. We find and we live for the rest of our lives. This doesn't work because we all, maybe, sometimes it works, but sometimes we gain a little weight after we're married. And, you know, there's the idea that when I get my wedding ring on, I'm never going to take it off. And then after, you know, a year, you start thinking, my finger could be getting too fat to get my ring off, and then I might lose my finger if I don't take my ring off. Anyway, sometimes we take our rings off, but the idea is that once that ring is on, you never take it off, right? The gift of Jesus is a gift that he has given, that God has given to us of himself that is not meant to be removed. It's not meant to be set aside in order to do other tasks. He is meant to be with us at all times. Amen. Jeanette and I have a friend whose name is Ted. Ted and Cheryl Bayard. They came and visited us once. She was our administrative assistant when we were at Canton, our last assignment. They had strongly thought that they would move with us, with Nathan and Sarah, and then it had a change of plans. But anyway, we have been very close over the years. And Ted and Cheryl, we love them dearly. Ted has had a bad heart for years. He recently retired from Caterpillar. And this last year has been really tough on him because his heart functioning went down to 10%. And he's young enough yet that they wanted to do everything within the realm of possibility that they could to save his life. And so they admitted him into a hospital in Chicago where he spent the next 2.5 months while his heart was functioning at 10%, and he waited for a donor to receive a heart transplant. They kept him sedated pretty much for 2.5 months while he waited for the heart. I called him Wednesday just to see how he was doing, and I got some more details. They ended up opening him up, and that means cracking the chest, you know what I mean? Opening him up 4 times before it was all over. Done so much, you know, the bones can only take so much, so they ended up putting a titanium plate in there, you know, and she said his heart, his chest is just shot. But we started talking about the heart and how Ted was doing, and she said, you know, he's really doing well, but I got to tell you that we're both struggling with all of this. She said there were days that were really dark for him, days that he wondered about all of this, and I don't think any of us would blame him at all. While the surgery was radical, and 2.5 months later, a donor became available. A heart became available. And I don't want to just gloss over that because we know what that is. Someone died. And it made a heart available for Ted. I'm sure psychologically there's some implications there that they're going through that those of us who've never had an organ transplant can't comprehend what it is to have someone else's heart beating inside of you. I'm sure there's some deep psychological things, emotional adjustment, some spiritual adjustment that has to be a part of that. Just going through what we went through with Dad here in the last few months, just the reality, we've talked about it, the reality that they're gonna open me up, put their hands in there, and sew blood vessel grafts around the blockages. It's hard to comprehend. Heart surgery. Someone died and donated their heart so that my friend could live. What a gift of life. Now, a new heart is not something that you just receive and then put down in order to get another gift that might be more exciting. It doesn't work that way, does it? It's so much a part of you that I'm sure the adjustment has to be overwhelming as to the reality of you receiving a new heart. Nathan writes in his sermon that he's giving this morning at DeKalb First. We send our sermons back and forth to each other, and I always get blessed when I read Nathan's sermons. He writes, he's preaching something different, but he was talking about the heart this morning. He says, the biblical definition of the heart. The heart is probably the most important, here's one of his words, it's a $50 word, anthropological word in the Hebrew Scriptures, reference concerning the human heart. The Hebrew Scriptures reference the human heart 814 times. The heart of God is referenced 26 times. The heart is the center of emotions, feelings, moods, and passions. Equated with the heart are joy, grief, ill temper, love, courage, fear, and a swollen heart is arrogance contrasting with the lowly heart of Jesus. The heart's function as the source of thought and reflection highlights its intellectual capacities. The heart understands, provides wisdom to rule justly and wisely, and discerns good and evil. The heart also represents the idea of volition and conscience. A pure heart is the desire for a new and more perfect conscience. Since the heart is the center for decisions, obedience, devotion, and intentionality, it represents the total human person, the center of who we are, as biblically expressed. Within the heart, human beings meet God's Word, and thus it is the location where conversion takes place. Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart. I was talking with Mom and Dad earlier, and they said they have had a friend by the name of Roger Wynn, and 15-some years ago, he received a heart transplant. And you know that there's usually always issues with rejection when a heart or an organ from somebody is put into someone else. And so for 15, 16 years, this individual, their body struggled with acceptance of that heart, and medication had to be given to suppress the rejection that the body wants to do because it knows it's not quite right. As a result of that, I assume, Roger told my folks that his heart had become like leather. It means it was working so hard that it had become hardened. And I want to use that as an illustration to what happens when something is not right in our life. Let's look at what the prophet Ezekiel says, is that God is saying, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. When we receive the gift of Jesus, we receive a heart transplant. Amen? By the way, I want to welcome Rod and Christine. I know you guys are watching this morning. Rod was going to be here this morning and pray, pastoral prayer. Thank you for stepping up, Bill. Rod called me or texted me earlier this week and said that he has been sick and was unable to be here this morning, but we'd be watching online. So glad you're with us, Rod, Christine. When we receive the gift of Jesus, when we receive the gift of Jesus, we receive a heart transplant. He takes away the heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. Christ is not one gift among many at Christmas. He is the gift. Amen? Turn now to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is Joseph, and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's a lot of anticipation about what's under the paper, under the wrapping of a gift. And sometimes we know the most perfect gifts come wrapped in the most unexpected packages. We believe as a church, and we stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ who believe that just what the Scripture says, that Mary was a virgin. She had never been with a man sexually. And what is conceived in her was conceived of her by the Holy Spirit. Just bold enough, we're just bold enough to believe that. Amen? We believe in the virgin birth. We believe that this gift of God was given in an unexpected package. It didn't look, we couldn't tell what God was doing with this. And yet we believe today in the virgin birth. We believe that God wrapped his son in swaddling clothes. It's loose-fitting clothes. And Mary laid him in a manger. It's not how you would expect a king to be wrapped. Amen? It's not how you would expect the Messiah of God, the Jewish Messiah, to be wrapped. It's not how you would expect the King of the world to be wrapped. But here he is wrapped in rags and laid in a manger. Here he is wrapped in a small town setting, Bethlehem. This is Bethlehem today. It's still a small town. Had nothing really going for it except that God said, this is where my Messiah will be born, in Isaiah, some 740 years prior. God prophesied through Isaiah. Let's look at the context of our scripture this morning, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Brad, would you turn to Matthew 1, 20, and let's read that together. But after he had considered this, that's Joseph. Can you imagine trying to get your brain around that? Here you had all these plans, and you really didn't consider that you were all that special in regards to the big, big picture, and yet God does this, and he offers Mary, and he offers Joseph this gift. Joseph is understandably struggling. He's wondering how in the world this can be. He's wondering how in the world he's supposed to accept this. He's wondering what in the world he's going to do with it. He's trying to do the right thing. He wants to be honorable. He wants to also be honorable to Mary. But that's just not how things work. And so he's struggling. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I want us to focus in for a moment on what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus is the ultimate gift of love from God our Father. He is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. John 21, 25 says Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Jesus is the ultimate gift of love from God our Father. The world cannot contain the miraculous nature of this gift. All of who Jesus is not even fully contained in Scripture, John says. But we do have glimpses as to his qualities, as to who he is. Jesus, God in the flesh. We believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man. I'm giving you a little theology this morning. We believe in the virgin birth, amen? We believe in the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ coexisting at the same time. We believe that he's fully God and fully man. Don't worry about it if you can't comprehend it, because I can't either. And it's okay. That's why we live by faith. Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus had a heart of flesh, a heart like ours, a heart that can be broken, a heart that is humble, a heart that can be hurt, a heart that can experience gladness and joy. Another quality of Jesus is his love, representing the very heart of God. He is God. The heart of God comes to life as we see Jesus. We understand who God is by seeing Jesus, by reading about him in the Word. Jesus, he is love. God is love. Love is a passion to be truly a bridge, an advocate, a support, a discipline. Not prone to being swayed by whims of emotion. Jesus did the right thing, and he will continue to do the right thing because he is love. Amen? And sometimes love is hard. It's difficult. But he is intent on doing right, and he will, and he does. And he is the truth. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus, he is our salvation. And I know that we've probably been around here long enough for that word to kind of have lost maybe a touch of its significance. But let us refresh our memories here for a moment. Let us refresh ourselves in the word. Salvation means that holy God gave his perfect Son as a sin offering, as the Lamb of God to be slain and take away the sins of the world. It's my sin. It's your sin. Because he gave his life, he makes it possible for me to live. He donated, and I am the recipient. Because he died, I can live. That's salvation. I am saved from the death penalty. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I trust in this substitutionary atonement, and I am saved. Jesus is also our leader in discipline and discipleship. He leads me to take up my cross and follow him for life. I got a kick out of the small group video this morning. Talking about flexitarians. How many of you know what a flexitarian is? Cracks me up. He likened it to a vegetarian. This is the new name for vegetarians who like to eat meat. I threw away my card. Anyway, it goes like this. So here's the thought process. I'm a vegetarian, but I like bacon. I'm a vegetarian, I like bacon, and I don't eat meat unless it's served. And you see, sometimes we approach Christianity like that. We approach being a disciple of Christ just like that. I like Jesus unless he asks me to be obedient. Or I like to be obedient unless it costs me something that I hold near and dear. But let's remember what Jesus said in John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Or the thief comes in only to kill and destroy and steal. I have come that they might have life to the full. John 14:3. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, you also may be. It's at this point that my sermon on my page takes a different route, but I feel checked by the Spirit to stop there. Because here's the thing. I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts next week. Here's the thing. receiving the gift of Jesus is the most important thing that could ever happen in any of our lives. And I've got next week to talk about spiritual gifts, and we'll talk about it in this series called The Gift. But there may be someone here who has not received the gift of Jesus Christ as Savior. And we're planning a baptism in February. But the gift of God and salvation, baptism is a beautiful thing, but it's not by water. Baptism is a way for you to say, I have been saved. Don't get me wrong, it happens sometimes when people come forward that day and are ready to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a follower of you, and they receive Jesus when they're baptized. That's a beautiful thing. But just because we don't have a tank set up right here, right now, this morning, doesn't mean that you can't be saved right here, right now, this morning. Amen. And just because we're talking about Jesus around Christmas and receiving the gift of Jesus at Christmas time on Christmas morning, doesn't mean that just because it's not Christmas morning, doesn't mean you can't receive the gift of Jesus right here and right now. And I don't know where we are, other than I know that the greatest change in my life that has ever occurred is when Jesus took away the heart of stone and gave me his heart. It's been a process for me. When I was a young child, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And through the process of time, he's also given me a heart transplant. And I probably have a ways to go. I know I do. But I know that I'm not who I was when Jesus first laid his hand on me and said, John, I want you to be mine. I love you. Would you receive me into your heart? So I just want to extend an open invitation to you this morning. Brad, there is a picture at the very end of the sermon. It's a picture of a little kid at Christmas time. Would you put that up? This is what life looks like when we undervalue the gift that God has given us in Jesus. We've opened all the presents, and there's wrapping everywhere. And we've put together some toys, kind of halfway put together. And we're distracted by going to all the different toys. Don't get me wrong, it was a rush. But there's an emptiness inside. Because Christmas is over. That's not how it's meant to be. I'm not specifically talking about toys, but you know, there's some pretty good truth right there in what we're teaching our kids about what Christmas is. Maybe you're that little kid over there. Maybe years ago you received the gift of Jesus, and in your excitement and in your haste, you put him down, searching for maybe an even better present without ever even considering what you've just opened is now your life. And in an adrenaline-pumped rush, we rip the gifts open of God's provision, His grace. Sometimes we even open gifts that aren't even ours to open. Because this opening gift thing and receiving gift thing is so awesome. And we can get addicted to that. The next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Well, the first thing is that Jesus has given us Himself. And really, if that's all we have, it's enough. Amen? He is enough. Let's pray together. And I want to pray a prayer of repentance and a prayer of faith this morning. And if it's a prayer that you're feeling the Holy Spirit say, you know, this is not unfamiliar territory to you, but insert your name. I want to remind you of the perfect gift. And perhaps you already have received Him. And just need to be reminded that somebody gave His life so that you could live. I don't think Ted will ever forget that somebody died and now he lives. And just be thankful. Be washed in thankfulness and gratitude again this morning. And perhaps there's someone here this morning that would say, Pastor, I have never received this gift. I've been excited about all the other gifts, but I've never really received Jesus as my Savior, as my salvation. And that's also this prayer of faith and confession this morning. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do come to You today, thankful that You have given Your life. And Lord, I want to thank You for You giving Your life for me. You died, and I live. But Lord, perhaps I have forgotten in my haste to open the other gifts You've given me, or perhaps, Lord, I have not yet actually received this gift that has been offered to me time and time again. Somehow, Lord, I thought that by being in church, and I thought that by praying prayers, and I thought that by being around Christian people, that somehow I would get it. And yet I realize there's an emptiness inside me. I still have my heart, the heart that is full of sin and needs to be forgiven. So Lord, I own my sins. I did them. I know they were wrong. I know that who I am is not going to stand up to Your holiness. And I know that the wages of sin is death. I know that my sin cannot exist in heaven. I know that as long as I own my sin, I can't live with You. So Lord, thank You for speaking to me this morning in the quietness of my own heart. And Lord, I thank You for the love that You're pouring into my heart now, because I know that You didn't give Your life out of obligation or because You were forced to by Your Heavenly Father, but You gave Your life for me because You wanted to. and you wanted me to live forever with you. So, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for taking the nails and the spear in your side for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for taking the death penalty off of me and receiving it unto yourself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. I'm sorry for how I've lived. I'm sorry for bringing you pain. I'm sorry, Lord, and I ask for your forgiveness. And the grace that I have heard talked about, this unmerited favor that you like me and you love me regardless of how I've acted and what I deserve, you love me anyway. You love me to the ends of the earth, and you desire to receive me into your life, Lord, right now, right here. I receive this free gift of salvation. I receive your life. I receive your heart. I receive this gift that I didn't earn and I don't deserve. I receive your life in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for loving me. Thank you for your grace in my life. Thank you for dying that I may live. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin distributing the elements of communion. If you have received Jesus as your Savior this morning, the first thing that the Bible encourages us to do is go tell somebody. And I would love to know that you have been saved this morning. I would love to know that you have received Jesus. But I don't have to be the one that you tell. You can tell your mom. You can tell Cheryl. You can tell your dad. You can tell your husband. You can tell your wife. You can tell Brad. You can tell Jay. But I want to encourage you to tell somebody that you've just received the gift of God, Jesus Christ, His Son. The elements that we are receiving, to receive the elements, we receive them in the spirit of confession and appreciation and gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. As they're being distributed this morning, I want to welcome each of you to receive them. The Bible encourages us to, admonishes us, Jesus admonishes us to consider ourselves, to examine ourselves, and to, in the light of God's holiness and the light of His forgiveness and grace, to be in full agreement with Him as a member of His family, a member of His household. He is good. He is our Lord. And He loves us. on the night that our Lord was betrayed, he called his disciples and he took the bread and he broke it, and then he gave thanks. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. This is a remembrance of his body that he gave for us, broken, shed blood, his body given for us that we may live. Let's receive it with thankfulness. And he took the cup. He gave thanks. And he said, this is my blood, which was shed for you, poured out for many. As we receive this emblem of his shed blood, let's remember again and be thankful that he gave his life, his blood for us, that we may live. I could have you just hang on a minute. I'd like to invite our worship team to come up. As they're coming, let me pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being who you are. And for reminding us anew and afresh this morning that this gift, even the gift of eternal life, is secondary to you being the perfect gift. Forgive us, Lord, when we join the club because of the benefits. We're, Lord, immature and have much growing to do. Today, Lord, though, we thank you for just who you are and the gift of yourself. Lord, replace the heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Replace the heart, our heart, with yours. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Resplendent glory fall on display for all to see. feast. Find him dining with the poor. Find him here surrounding us. Hallelujah, God is near. Oh, hallelujah, God is near. From the ocean, cedar trees, fields of wheat along the plains. Praise to God from all the earth. Praise to God from mountain tops. Hallelujah, God is near. Oh, hallelujah, God is near.
Sing hallelujah, God is near.
Let's do it. Hallelujah, God is near. Oh, hallelujah, God is near. Ocean depths to cedar trees, fields of wheat along the plains. Praise to God from all the earth. Praise Him from the mountain tops. Hallelujah, God is near. Oh, hallelujah, God is near.
His
radiance is greater than anything on earth or sky. Sun and moon will guard the night, shining to the God on high. Let true love break out in praise. Let it dance and sing His name. All creation join to sing hallelujah to the King.
Hallelujah, God is near. Hallelujah, God is near. Oh, hallelujah, God is near. Hallelujah, God is near.
Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for reminding us of your perfect gift. Thank you for reminding us of this gift of salvation. Your love, yourself. We have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. We're not going to boast. We didn't make it happen. It's by your love and grace. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
Hallelujah, God is near. Oh, hallelujah.